Well, good evening. This is our fourth week of our training sessions for elders. Last week, we looked at the parish ministry structure. For those of you who are able to watch that, you'll remember that we reviewed the history, the background of how the parish system began, and then what's the purpose of the parish system. As a reminder, that parish system, or the purpose of that, is twofold. It is to provide pastoral care, and then secondly, to enhance community throughout the church. Now, as I noted back then, that we had taken a spiritual health survey a couple of years ago, and that survey indicated that the parish system has only partially fulfilled its goals. Now, 16 years later, from the beginning of this parish system, what we find is that providing the kind of pastoral care in which all of our members feel that they are being cared for, that they are being shepherded, that system is still lacking. And tonight we're going to explore what has hindered its progress. Now, to do that, I'm going to take us back over the key features at that time of the parish system conception. These are what we went over last week. Let me mention the first one. It says that elders, especially gifted for this kind of ministry, would be selected. And that's the idea, is that they would do a more effective job than when we had every elder with a parish of at least 50 members. And it was originally proposed that the parish elders would not have to actually attend the session meetings. They would not have to hold other duties on the session. And thus, they would then be freed up to focus on shepherding care. Well, let's look back at that. We know that we did appoint elders whom we thought would be gifted for the work. And we think that they still are gifted to do an effective job as parish elders. It was originally, but what we did not do is make it in such a way that they did not need to attend the session meetings. Now, actually, my understanding is that they wanted to continue with the session meetings. They felt more connected with the church body that way. But for whatever reason, that did not continue to happen. Now, they were not appointed to, and still are not appointed to, other duties. They don't take on chairmanship of other commissions. They're not made trustees and other types of leadership positions. Yet, again, they attend all the session meetings. They take an active part in what are their other responsibilities that are required of the elders. And so they are still not quite fully able to participate or to focus then on that work just as shepherding their parishes. Now, another point of this is that though the parish elders, and really I think this of all elders, though they did bring with them gifts for shepherding, what we failed to do was to provide certainly systematic training for them, either to prepare them for the work or just an ongoing support of training and teaching as they encounter the very practical and difficult issues of shepherding their people. Now, I mean, what kind of help did we need to be providing? Well, there's just the practical ways of shepherding itself. As you elders already know, it's difficult to know how to come alongside people, particularly those who are having problems in their lives, who are being kind of problem people themselves. It's difficult to know how to handle complicated situations, how to handle situations in which there's a death in the family or an illness or the breaking up of a family. And all those things, we've not been able really coming alongside our own elders to help them be good shepherds. We've not really have provided all the adequate support we should in helping our parish elders know how to organize parish ministry. I mean, really, all of our parishes would require the work of one full-time pastor at least. Most pastors don't even have the size of membership that you already have, for example, in Parish 1 or 2 or in New Jersey. And so we needed to provide a better way of helping them, again, coming alongside them. We needed to have provided better administrative support. Now, I always think that the real progress was made one year, can't remember what year it was, when we hired a part-time assistant, it was Lydia Brownback, to be the assistant for really the parish elders. And I remember that time teaching her that what her job is to do is to come alongside the parish elders and help them do troubleshooting, help them solve problems of how to reach out, how to communicate with all of their parish members. But we do not have quite that same kind of support system that we had at that time. Now, another aspect, again, or feature that was supposed to come of the parish council was this. The parish elders would build a team, that is what we know as the parish council, by which to minister in the parish. They would still have the session elders helping them, but more, they would also tap the services of elders not serving on the board. And these so-called inactive elders could continue to shepherd their people within their parishes. And indeed, the deacons and deaconesses of the parish were also supposed to serve on that team, including those who were inactive. And the idea then is that you had a significant team of people reaching out, working together to minister in the parishes. Now, what never really happened was the inactive officers, in a sense, becoming active. And that was a critical problem because, again, as we know, the size of the parishes, they're just too many people to provide for, too many people to be shepherding, to be ministering to by just a parish elder and two or three other deacons or deaconesses and maybe one or two other elders. We needed everyone working together using their gifts and their experience. Now, also, if you'll recall last week, I mentioned the three goals that we had come up with for the parishes. And here was the first goal. All parish members would be contacted regularly, preferably every 2 months. And what we have discovered is that no parish could keep that up. I think early on there was attempts by most of the parish councils to do it. They would assign one another a certain list and groups of people to contact, and for a while, depending upon the parish and the abilities of those making the calls, they were able to do that. And throughout the year, some parishes were able to do it better than others, but no parish has been able to sustain them year after year, regularly contacting every member in their parish. So that was something we could not do. Now, the result of that, well, a number of results. One is the just simply losing track of members. Now, probably in most parishes, and well, I'm sure the parish council members could name most of the people in their parishes. But many cannot. There are many people who, as you know, they come into our church, never really get established, and they don't become true members who are active in our congregation, and we simply don't even know who they are, what their names are, or be able to put names with faces. And then there are those whom we do know that, but over time, things have been going on in their lives, and they kind of drift away from the church, and we don't even know it. There are those who have been out of the church maybe for 2 or 3 months, and it has not come to anyone's attention that they're missing. There are those who never joined in a small group or active in some other way, and so always kind of being there on the periphery, and we're not really keeping up with them. And so as a result, there are many people who have not felt cared for. Some who have said that they have never known who their elders are, or their deacons or deaconesses. There are those who have said that, you know, they were active, but perhaps they were in the hospital, perhaps something happened in their lives, and then nobody was there for them at the time. Now, in most of these cases, we could say, well, that person did not contact anyone. The person should have made a phone call. The person should have done this. But human nature is that there will always be those who do not make those kind of contacts. Just like there are sheep who wander away and they don't tell the shepherd where they're going. They don't make an effort to come back. They simply stray. And it's our responsibility, again, we have to remember this, our responsibility as the elders, as the shepherds, to keep track of everyone, to watch over every member of the church. Now, another goal that we had was that the parish would ensure good assimilation into small groups and membership. Now, again, we've done a fair job with this. We've been able to assimilate at least those who want to be assimilated, those who want to be part of small groups, most of them that we can make arrangements for that. Those who go through the membership class and they want to get involved in a ministry, they want to find out what's going on, we're able to help them. But again, we have not been effective, though, in developing widespread participation throughout the church in small groups and in everyone being involved or at least just feeling like they are a part of the church. Now consider this information. We have, and we think we've got a pretty accurate count on this now, to our best of our knowledge, we only have 35 small groups in this church. And out of that, there are about 375 participants. And this isn't a church in which we have probably at least 1,400 resident members. So you can see with how far we still have to go. We're not nearly even getting near 50% of participation in small groups in our church, something which we have identified to be very important. So we have not made the progress that we want to see in this assimilation. We've not been able to keep up that regular contact. And there was a third goal that we had, which we are keeping, and that is that the parish councils would meet monthly. As far as I know, I'm aware that every parish, their councils meet pretty much on a monthly basis. But the challenge still is for these councils to really become effective teams in which the elders, the deacons, deaconesses, really are working all together as a team of reaching out into their parishes. And there are different reasons for this. Like the two boards, the session and the diaconate, the parish councils experience people going off and then coming back on and new ones coming in and veterans taking off. And we lack that continuity as a result. The elders themselves, the parish elder, maybe a parish elder for one or two or three years and takes off and maybe comes back, maybe doesn't, and someone else moves into that place, again, interrupting the continuity. There are many elders on the session still who have not understood that they are to be active on the parish councils. They believe that, well, they're the administrative elders and they're going to be on these other commissions and be doing other things, and you have the parish elders who are doing that kind of parish work. So for whatever reason, that has not gotten into their mindset. And certainly, we have yet, as we've already mentioned, gotten it into the mindset of those who have gone off the boards, who have been termed inactive. And after a while, you're not going to hear me using that term again. I plan to get that term struck off all manuals and other references. We're not going to have such a thing as an inactive elder or deacon or deaconess, particularly for an elder. Once you're ordained to be an elder, you are ordained for life. And you cannot, before God, decide that you will just stop. That's something that we've got to get going back again, of getting people, everyone to understand, particularly the elders, particularly deacons, once they are ordained, they have an obligation always to be serving. Now, let's review these kinks in the system as I've presented them. I've gone back again, looking at what were the original intentions for the parishes, what were the goals, the ideas behind them. We've seen the problems. Let me just summarize them for you right now. They were, one, the parish elders quickly became overly stretched. Secondly, parish elders, and all elders, really, have not been receiving the necessary training and support for their great responsibilities. Thirdly, there's been a failure to activate the inactive officers. Just the idea that after all these years we even have that concept of an inactive officer shows a failure on our part. Fourthly, there's that inability to keep up regular contact with all church members. And I would say, if anything, if I had to pick one key problem, that's it. We cannot shepherd people we don't know. We cannot come alongside people in time of need when we don't know when the time of need is actually taking place. Fifthly, there's that inability to develop a widespread network of small groups. And then finally, number six, there's been that ongoing struggle to develop strong, consistent parish council teams in which real effective teamwork is taking place. Now, I know that it's one thing to diagnose problems, but, you know, that's important to do. If we don't really diagnose accurately what's gone wrong, it's hard then to decide what it is we need to do. But then that is the next step. How do we actually solve those problems? Now, as I mentioned last week, I think I have answers on these, and I think it's clear just as we're going through them, it's not difficult to see what are some of the changes that we can make to adequately address these problems. And I see them as primarily four elements that we need to get instituted, need to get going. They are, first of all, training our elders, and actually we're starting that. That's happening right now, this moment. Secondly, there's the activating of all elders, be they ruling elders, be they teaching elders. We have a number of teaching elders who are not on our staff, sitting here in our pews. We need to activate them. There are elders, ruling elders, who have served on our session and for years now have not been actively serving. There are elders ordained in other Presbyterian and Reformed churches that are now members of this congregation whom we could be calling to come alongside our parish elders and help with these shepherding. Secondly, the third element is that of development of the TCA network. Remember, the 10th Community Assistance. And fourthly, putting the database of our church that we now have on the computer system into parish hands. Now, I'm going to take a lengthy time for each one to go through each of these elements. And probably it'll take probably at least two more sessions about this. But I want to do a little bit overview of this so that you can see where I'm going, kind of see the big picture before we take each one of them apart. Let me go back to training. How are we going to do training? One of the things that had stymied me for years, and as you know, I was here before and left for 5 years, and now I'm back. But I was always aware that somehow we need to do systematic training. But how can we do it? We're geographically far apart. We've got at least 18 elders on the session of ruling elders. When could I ever find time for several weeks? Really, I needed several months to get the men together to do that training. I thought perhaps we could do it on a Sunday morning. That's a possibility. But many of our elders are busy on Sunday mornings. They're teachers. They're helping out in other parts of the church. They're being active, being among their people. And we didn't want to just take them away from that. Well, now coming back, we have this new technology, and that of using the webcast. So all of you, I assume you're sitting at home right now, and you're following along on this. And there'll be those of you who later on, next week at some time, I know one of you is going to be riding along in your car listening to this, and others will be sitting at your homes or offices or wherever else, being able to pick up on these training sessions. This is something we have not been able to do before. Now, this is not reserved just for training of elders. David Apple is doing very important work now in training of the deacons and the deaconesses. He's been doing that lately on Saturday mornings. He's been teaching at the diaconate meetings, and they have just asked him if he would do a Sunday school class in the fall. So these are very important things of being able to start coming alongside all of our officers and help do practical training. That second element that I've already mentioned a little bit of is activating all elders. Now, I think our problem is not so much that people, I don't think we have a problem which elders do not want to do shepherding. Just somehow it's been in our mindset that is reserved, at least in an official way, to those who are on the session. Indeed, I'm sure that all of our elders, even those who are off the board, spend time with people, praying with them, reading scripture with them, providing godly counsel. I'll even see them doing that here in the sanctuary. I have called upon them myself to help in different ways. What we need to do is to do that systematically, and see ourselves being a team, so that those who are off the board, and I'm going to start calling them now non-board elders and non-board deacons and deaconesses, need to see themselves as still being part of a team, working together, and particularly working with the parish elder. They're working together. If they're communicating and reporting what they're doing, I know, and I'll be talking about this later on when we come back to this again, I know that we can reach everyone, every single member of this church. We can do that. And a third element that I mentioned again is the development of the TCA network of 10th Community Assistance. It's interesting, another pastor emailed me just today that I was responding to, asking me about what we're doing here with shepherding. And I'm giving him really the same points I'm giving you. And I said what I think is the most significant development of all is that of these 10th community assistants. Again, what is the most difficult part about shepherding? What is it that keeps getting in our way? It's not being able to communicate with everybody. There are just so many people, and it's difficult to reach them. This is something I'd been contemplating a little over, about 2 years ago, and thinking of how are we going to really reach out to everyone. And finally, the idea hit me in contrasting actually myself and my wife. I know that for myself, for example, though I'm an elder, though I'm a pastor, when I go home and I'm tired, I do not want to make a phone call. It's difficult for me to do, and I'm just calling, and I'm tired, and I just want to take a break. Now, my wife, she will make those phone calls, and she will do them gladly. And when she calls up people, they're happy to hear from her, and she makes them feel good. And suddenly I realize, that's the point. What we need is instead of trying to spread this phone calling among just officers in the church who may or may not be good at it, may or may not feel comfortable about it or have the energy to do it, that we find those who do enjoy it, who are happy to make these calls. And so that's how the idea came, that these 10th community assistants would simply be in a sense, friends. We're calling up their 10 or so folks whom they will establish a relationship with just naturally. When you call up somebody once a month and simply ask, how are you doing? That we then will make a connection with everyone. And it's important that they will also be calling and letting the people know that they're representing their elders, their parish elders. And then that conveys to the people whom they're talking to that their parish elder does know them, because the parish elder will be getting feedback from the TCAs, letting that parish elder know that contacts have been made, passing on prayer concerns, maybe needing to make phone calls because that person wanted the TCA to let that parish elder know that there was a need going on. And we'll talk more about that, but I think that will make the difference for particularly you parish elders. And then finally, I mentioned what might seem like kind of an ordinary or even a trivial matter, but also which is significant, and that is putting the database of our membership into parish hands. And what do I mean by that? Well, I don't mean passing on to everyone deep information about parish member or church members. But what I do mean is that, for example, instead of at a parish council meeting, the parish's council members are talking and they're speaking of a member and they're not quite sure if they got accurate information, or maybe that information has changed. Or let's say they want to know how many children under the age of 18 are in their church, or are there widows or single people in their church, and they want to reach out to them in some way. Well, they do not need to write a note to call into the church to speak to Christy and ask her if she can get them a report, and then next month, then they'll get that information. But right then and there, elders can run their reports, find out who all is in their parishes in an up-to-date way, not finding out that their present piece of paper is a little bit outdated because two or three changes have been made. Indeed, even further, elders and these TCAs, well, the TCAs only with the people whom they're calling when some information has changed, like an address or a telephone number, an email, will be able to make that change right then. So it gives us more timely information, more accurate information. And you will find that making a significant difference for your ministry. So I hope that you see there are solutions. I hope that you see that that these problems that have just gone on for years and years and years don't have to keep going on that way. We can provide solutions. It's not difficult, but what it does take is determination. And again, I want to say this, as I said last week, I'm determined that we will make these changes, that this year, 2008, will be the years that another generation will look back. And you young elders will then be older elders, and you'll say, that's when the changes were made. That's when we really got serious, and all the elders kind of stepped up to the plate and began working together and working with our deacons and our deaconesses and working with the pastors and working with the staff and people all getting involved. Next time we do a spiritual health survey, I'm determined that most of the people, the great majority, are going to say, yes, I feel cared for. Yes, I know my elder. Yes, I know that when I have a need, I know who I can go to. I know that there will be people there for me. together, we'll make that happen. Good night.